So 18 years ago, what is the date today? August 10th, 18 years ago, very soon, I would say to the day, but it's not quite to the day, and you don't really want to know that detail, I received the greatest news of my life. They're already horrified. 18 years ago, I was in my washroom and had taken yet another pregnancy test after years and years and years of infertility, being told by our doctors that it was physically impossible for Tyler and I to conceive on our own. And every month, I didn't care what the doctor said. I had faith, and I just took a pregnancy test. It didn't matter. And this time, I remember exactly where I was standing when the timer went off. And my words, my exact words as I looked at this test that said pregnant were, "You've got to be kidding me." I said it out loud. It was just complete shock. And I was pregnant with Josh, my firstborn. And I remember calling Tyler in and just being complete shock and total amazement that God had done this miracle. And for me, it was not just good news or great news. This was the best news that I could have received. And it brought with the news came this just deep joy, knowing that what was said to be impossible, God had made possible. Knowing that now, after all of those years, my suffering was over. And so I began to tell everyone the good news. It didn't matter if you knew me or not. If I saw you in those first few days, you were going to hear that I was pregnant. I wanted to make a shirt, you know, that pointed baby here, because I just wanted to share the good news with everyone that I came across. And then with every subsequent pregnancy, I was just as thrilled, Annika, when you came along, and Tinica and Caleb, and just immediately had to tell people. Because for me, this was good news that was meant to be shared with others. And I know not all of you have had that specific news, and that's okay. But I do believe that you have all, at some point in your life, experienced a moment of good news, whether it was a promotion at work, whether it was the beginning of a relationship, whatever it was, there was a moment when you said, "This is good news, and I want to share it. I want to let others know what it is that I'm celebrating today." Maybe it's just for others to understand the impact that that news would have on you. In fact, I'm curious, does anybody today have good news that you want to share? This is your chance. Anything good that's happened in your life that you want to share out today? It's okay if you don't. No good news? I'm seeing people. Somebody's pointing somewhere. All right, we're going to get to some good news. Yes, good news. Okay, I'm going to say that. Praise God. The good news was that 2 years ago, she got in a car accident in a coma. Doctor said she would never wake up from a coma, and yet here she is sitting with us, praising God. That is amazing news. Thank you for sharing that. What I love about good news is that it's meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared so that we can celebrate the good news with others. Now, there once was a little boy named Linus, and Linus was asked a question about the good news, and he said, "Hey, I know what the good news is," and he shared it, and I want to show you this morning. Let's watch this.
Who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That's some good news. So what Linus just told us there is from Luke chapter 2, from verse 8 to 20, declaring the good news that a Savior had been born. Now, right now, I've got some helpers who are going to pass to each one of you a little piece of paper. Go ahead, helpers. And on this paper, there is a verse from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And what it says is this: She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. She's going to give birth to a son. His name will be Jesus, and he will save people from their sins. This is the good news. In fact, there is no greater news. So right now, as you're still getting handed it, you're going to hold in your hand the good news of Jesus, that Jesus will save people from their sins. This truth, it's the culmination of all of the waiting, of the prophecy, the expectancy, the longing for years, for generations, the waiting, and then more waiting. And more waiting. When would the Savior come? When will the prophecies come true? When will we see the deliverance of our people? When will we be free? And then this proclamation comes. She will give birth to a son. His name will be Jesus. And he will save people from their sins. This is the good news. Hold it in your hand. Look at it. You've got the good news. Now, my question for you is, what are you going to do about it? Oh, we've got some preachers in the front row here. You knew where I was going. I love it. What are you going to do about it? To help us out this morning, we're going to look at who the good news was first given to on that night. Linus told us that the good news was given to some shepherds who were out in a field. So think about those shepherds. They're just out there watching their flocks. They're taking care of their sheep out in the countryside. But what you might not know about shepherds is that they were people who were considered the lowest of the low. They really had no value. They had no worth. They were despised. They were truly rejected by the rest of the population. They definitely were not respected. In fact, in the time that this happened, when Jesus was born, the shepherds were so disregarded and disrespected, not trusted, that in a court system, in a court of law, shepherds couldn't even give a testimony because their word was not trusted. They just weren't trusted individuals. And yet Luke chapter 2 tells us that the angels, with all of God's glory shining around them, shared the good news first with these shepherds. With the shepherds who nobody else trusted their word, God trusted them with the good news. They were the first to hear the good news. They were the first to hear that Jesus had arrived. And this truly was the only news that ever mattered. Trusted to the lowest of the low, the first to hear, the first to go and to see, to touch baby Jesus, God in the flesh, the first to worship him, the Savior of the world, the long-awaited for Messiah. The shepherds saw him first. And the shepherds were told that this good news would bring great joy for all the people. And I want us to think about the great joy. Why would this news that there's a baby being born, why would that bring great joy. The answer, again, is in your hand. Because the good news is that the Savior that had been born, Jesus, was here to save people from what? From their sins. This was a fulfillment of prophecy. The fulfillment that one was coming who would save people from sin. From sin that we have spent the last many, many months looking through the Old Testament and seeing that the people couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't save themselves from sin. They kept going into this sin cycle of sin and death and sin and death. They couldn't get out of it. This sin that ensnared and entangled and kept people from being in close communion with God. But the good news brings great joy because finally there is a solution to the one big problem, which is sin. Now hang there for a second. I know you're not going to go anywhere. I want to show you a couple of things here. We've got the good news here of Jesus, right? Jesus who's going to save from sin. And that was in and of itself the good news. This is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus has come to save from sin. But sin looks like troubles. We've got a lot of them, right? Troubles that cause us pain, that cause us discomfort, brokenness, that keeps us from being whole, that keeps us from being healed. Our own failures, our failures to do the right thing, our failures, we can't save ourselves from sin. Our worries, and I find worries is such a tricky one because this becomes a battle of the mind where our worries are just taking over. They're taking control. Our struggles, and our struggles as individuals, they're going to look different. They're going to be unique to each one of us. Maybe our family situation isn't so great. There's brokenness, there's strain. That can cause a lot of hurt. Poverty, just not even being able to make it. Not having what we need to get by. That's brokenness. Health struggles, sickness, disease, all of it that keeps us from living a whole, perfect life. Some of our personal situations that maybe you are the only one who knows the struggle. You're the only one who knows what's going on deep inside. Oppression. In our world, there are people who are oppressed. There are people who are not free. The turmoil in our world, let's just say that, man. There's a lot of it going on, and there's been a lot of it going on from the beginning of time. Our political situation, where at times makes us feel very uneasy or unsettled, perhaps filled with anger about what's happening in and around the world. See, these problems are all rooted in the brokenness that entered into the world when one man, Adam, sinned. These all are rooted in this sin. But the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that he takes it all. When the word says that Jesus saves us from our sin, it's all of it. And he takes it all upon himself. That is the good news that was proclaimed in Matthew. She will give birth to a son. His name will be Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. It's all of it that he came to take upon himself. Every problem, every trouble, every struggle. And with Jesus, it is complete. It is finished. It is an eternal work. The good news of Jesus is that we are free in him, and we are free for all eternity. That is the good news that causes great joy. That's not just some good news that we can like put aside. That's good news that should evoke this response of joy, of overcoming, bubbling over joy. This is what my Savior has done for me. Jesus has come to save people from their sins. Again, hold up that good news. You've got it. You have the good news. What are you going to do about it? Let's look at what the shepherds did. Remember that they were the lowest of the low. They were despised. They weren't trusted. And yet God trusted them with the good news. And what the shepherds did is they received it in on that night. They heard the good news. They took it in. But then their response was to preach it out. Their response was to proclaim it to everyone that they met. The good news literally means to preach out. It means to proclaim Jesus. That's what the word good news means. To proclaim it out. All of us are meant to do this when we encounter the good news of Jesus. Our response, and it should be the natural response of a heart that has encountered the good news, is to preach it out. We're not to keep it and hoard it. We're not to stay silent. We are to proclaim it. This is a pattern that we see all through the New Testament. When people encountered Jesus, not only were their lives changed, but their natural response was to share the encounter with others. Look at the Samaritan woman. She was a woman that we might even read a little bit more about her story in the coming weeks. But she was a woman who hated the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans just because of their ethnicity, because of their background. And she met Jesus one day. And Jesus said to her everything that she had ever done. He knew all about this woman. And this woman's life was not a rose-colored life. It was filled with bad decisions, with bad choices, with wrongdoings. And Jesus, knowing everything about her, said, I have come to give you life. I have come to give you living water so that you never, ever thirst again. And this woman said, but if you just knew, he's like, I know everything about you. And it doesn't change that I have come for you, to save you, to give you life, to give you life that is abundant and full. And this woman, after she encountered Jesus, the word tells us that she ran back to town. This woman who probably had very few friends, but it didn't matter. She went and found anyone and everyone. Said, you won't believe it. Let me tell you who I just met. His name is Jesus. He told me that he's the Messiah, that he's the Savior. Zacchaeus, another unlikely guy to be encountered with Jesus and to have this amazing response. But Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector. He was hated by pretty much everyone. But he had heard that Jesus was coming into town, and there was something that welled up inside of him that said, that's a guy I want to meet. I've heard the stories. I've heard what they say about him. I want to meet this Jesus. Zacchaeus, so desperate to see Jesus. I love this. The Bible said he was a short man, so he just physically couldn't see above the crowds because the crowds had gathered to see Jesus. So what does little Zacchaeus do? He climbs up a tree, right, to get this good vantage point. And as Jesus comes, Jesus looked straight at Zacchaeus and he saw him. The Bible, it's very short. It just says that Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. But what I see there is that Jesus saw him. This little man who nobody else even liked. Jesus said, I see you and I place value on you. I love you. And after Zacchaeus encountered Jesus, his whole life was changed. He said, instead of cheating people, instead of taking that little extra off as your tax collector, I'm going to pay it all back and I'm going to give more and I'm going to give above and beyond. Why? Because a life that encounters Jesus changes. It's proclaimed out. This is who I've met. Look at what he has done. That's the good news that brings great joy. There's no keeping it in. The sick, the destitute, the broken, the unclean, when they encountered Jesus, they could not wait to tell others. There were even some times when Jesus said, hey, don't tell anyone. And they're like, what? This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I've got to tell everyone I meet because I've encountered Jesus. When we receive the good news, we are meant to proclaim it out. It is not meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be shared. The good news, Jesus has come to save you from your sins. You have the good news. What are you going to do about it? Luke 2, verse 17. This is regarding the shepherds. It says, after seeing Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. The shepherds told everyone what happened. My question for you today is, what has Jesus done for you? What has been your encounter with Jesus? When he met you, when he came and intersected your life, what was that encounter for you? When he saved you from your sins, it was personal. He saved you. Sometimes we can think, yes, Jesus came and saved the world from their sins. No, friends, that is true. He saved you from your sins. You. He saved me from my sins. It's personal. So what testimony do you have of that encounter with Jesus? What testimony do you have of encountering the good news? He saved you from your sin. Has he healed you? Has he restored you? Has he strengthened you? What is your testimony? You've received from him. Now preach it out. It's our turn to preach it out. We are not meant to curb our language. This is something that Pastor Tyler shared several years ago, and it really, really impacted me. In a message that he was preaching, he was talking about how, as followers of Jesus, sometimes we curb our language when we're talking to unbelievers, right? So instead of saying, Jesus has done this great thing for me, praise God, would you like to know what Jesus has done? We do these little things like, I don't know if this is so outdated, sorry, children. You're going to be so embarrassed. But like, hashtag blessed, you know, like, I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed. Why are you blessed? Because the Savior of the world came and intervened in your life. Let's stop curbing our language and let's start saying what Jesus Christ has done for us. And trust that the God of the universe and the God of creation is big enough to take whatever awkwardness there happens to be and use it for his glory and to do an amazing work in someone else's life. How have you been blessed? Speak it out. Speak the name of Jesus. Share the truth. And don't hold back. Because when people meet the good news, when they hear the good news of Jesus, they will be changed. Every person, when they encounter the good news of Jesus, they have a choice right then, right there to make. Will I allow Jesus, the one who saves me from my sins, to completely change, turn my life upside down for God's glory? Or will I turn away? But there's a choice that everyone has to make when they encounter Jesus. And what if their encounter with Jesus begins with you saying, this was my encounter with Jesus, and this is what he has done in me since that time. Praise God. What would happen if we speak it out? Would the worship team come? In this church, we make a big deal about Jesus. There's a reason for that. We make a big deal about Jesus because Jesus is what it's all about. There's nothing else that matters more than our relationship and our walk with Jesus, who came to this earth to save us from sin. Jesus is the good news. Do you know what the name Jesus means? The name Jesus means the Lord saves. It's in his name. His name, Jesus, is salvation, that our God saves. Right there. What a testimony. That is my Jesus. As a church, we speak the name of Jesus over every situation, over every life. And it doesn't matter today if you are down in the depths of despair, if you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, or if you are on the highest high saying, me and God, we are like this right now. We're just so close. It doesn't matter which extreme or anywhere in between, because the name of Jesus speaks to you where you are at in your situation, and he brings life. Jesus saves. He saves us. So as a church, we shout Jesus. We shout his name. We sing his name. We pray his name in a gentle whisper. There are times in the middle of the night when I'm woken up and I just have fear or I have anxiety, and all I do is quietly whisper, Jesus. Because I know that in his name, there is life. And there are times when I have shouted the name of Jesus because there is something that is attacking so strong that I just believe I'm going to shout the name of Jesus over this situation and know that my God is going to work, because that is what he does. The Lord saves. So I'm going to shout out his name. It doesn't matter if you say it at a whisper, if you say it at a shout, if you sing it in with others, if you sing it in the privacy of your own home, the name of Jesus is power. It speaks life. So church, as a church, we will continue to speak the name of Jesus. We will make a big deal about Jesus, because Jesus is the good news. So you've got the good news. What are you going to do about it? Let's be a church that speaks his name. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for who you are, Jesus, that you are our Savior, that you save us from our sin. Jesus, I thank you that in your name there is power and there is life, and there is no situation that can come against your name, because Jesus, you are the authority and you are the power. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So Jesus, today we say your name, we speak your name, we shout your name over our situations, over our friends, over our family, over our city, over our world. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Would you do what only you can do? Would you continue to do a work in and through each one of us? And Jesus, I pray that you would give us the boldness to not hoard the good news, but to speak it out, to share it, to proclaim it with everyone we meet. This is my God, and this is what he has done for me. Jesus, we love you. We want your name to be spread. So help us to be those agents in your world. God, we love you, and we trust you, and we ask that you would do a good work. In Jesus' name, amen.